Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, January 19th, 2023, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Halfway through verse 10, we started the greatest dissertation on virtue, love, and all of the Word of God. From 1 John 3:10b all the way through chapter 5. 1 John chapter 3. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of assembling in freedom to worship the Lord Jesus Christ through the study of the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 3. Let's start the corrected translation at verse 15. Anyone who hates his fellow believer is a murderer. That's mental murder. The Lord Jesus Christ taught that hate is mental murder. And you have learned Bible doctrine in the past with the result that you know this doctrinal truth now in the present, namely that no murderer has the eternal life, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, menowing in him, abiding in him. That is, he has no spiritual life. He has no intimate fellowship with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16. By this we have come to know virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all, that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us as a substitute for the entire human race. And therefore, by way of application to the royal family of God, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, our fellow believers. Verse 17. But if anyone has the world's material possessions, food, clothing, material things, and he sees that his fellow believer is in need of something or destitute, and he has shut up, locked up his heart against him, that is, he has no compassion on him, then it is impossible that this virtue love from God abides in him. Well, in verses 15 and 16, we have quite a contrast. In stark contrast with the mental attitude sin of hate, mental murder in verse 15 stands the true character of virtue love. Personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all in verse 16. Impersonal love for all is so far from the mental attitude of hate or murder that its essence lies in giving one's life for others rather than taking lives. This impersonal love for all was exemplified in Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for the whole world. And with this as our model, the royal family of God should be prepared to make similar sacrifices for their fellow believers. The Lord Jesus Christ is our role model for impersonal love for all. From impersonal love for the entire human race, Jesus Christ laid down his life for the entire world to solve mankind's problem of sin through the salvation work of Christ on the cross. And the willingness to give one's life for fellow believers is the maximum application of impersonal love for all. Virtue love brought to completion in the heart of the believer living the spiritual life produces such motivation, the willingness to die for your fellow believer, even for the totally obnoxious believer, can only be fulfilled when the believer has impersonal love for all. Impersonal love for all enables the believer to solve all people problems in life, including the willingness to give one's life for another, to make the supreme sacrifice. If you have impersonal love for all, the willingness to give your life for even the totally repugnant believer, then you have the solution for all people problems. And I gave you a question. Would you be willing, as the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross, willing to receive the imputation of all of your sins, willing to receive the judgment for those sins? Would you be willing to give your life for the most obnoxious, repugnant believer you know? And of course, this question demands an honest answer in the privacy of your own soul. But your answer will give you an understanding of where you are in your spiritual life. Do you hate the obnoxious believer? That's mental murder. Or do you love him with impersonal love? Are you in cosmic death, living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred? Or are you living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill? Do you even have a spiritual life? Or do you have no spiritual life? Do you have virtue, honor, integrity, which is the basis of impersonal love for all? Or no virtue, no honor, no integrity? Only maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart can change your arrogant thinking and develop virtue love. Impersonal love for all, including your enemies and those you can't stand. In verse 17, but if someone has the world's material possessions, food, clothing, wealth, prosperity, and he sees that his fellow believer is in need. He's in need of something. He's destitute. And he is shut up locked up his heart against him. That is, he has no compassion for him. Then it is impossible that this virtue love from God abides in him. Now when we get to verse 17, we have the function of the heart of the soul of a believer living in Satan's cosmic system. He has no virtue love. He has no impersonal love for all. He has no compassion. He has no mercy. No grace in action. He has no thoughtfulness of others. The believer in cosmic death, living his life in Satan's cosmic system, has no virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And therefore, he shuts his heart. In fact, the word says, Clio, he shuts it and locks it. Shuts his heart and locks it to a fellow believer in need. Instead of impersonal love for his fellow believer, he has mental attitude sins, such as hate for his fellow believer. Verse 15. And therefore, he has no compassion for his fellow believer who is in need, who is destitute of either food or clothing or material needs. Now, in verse 15, we know how this believer, in verse 17, how he received his prosperity or wealth. He received it by living his life in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. And therefore, his prosperity is coming from the temporary ruler of this world, Satan. There is no virtue love in Satan's cosmic system. And therefore, there is no impersonal love for all in Satan's cosmic system. This believer has prosperity, he has wealth, he has material things, but he has no spiritual life, he has no virtue love brought to completion in his heart, he has no impersonal love for all. He has no impersonal love for a fellow believer in need who is destitute. He has material things, all right. But he has no virtue love brought to completion in his heart. He won't help the destitute believer because he is destitute of virtue love. He has no impersonal love for all. And it is far, far better to be destitute of material wealth than to be destitute of virtue love. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, 1 John 2:5. Impersonal love for all cannot exist apart from maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. When you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, then, as a part of your impersonal love for all, you will have genuine compassion for others. Genuine compassion for others is a part of impersonal love for all. So a couple of things. One, personal love for God the Father is the motivator. First of all, you have to have personal love for God the Father. If you don't have personal love for God the Father, you will never have impersonal love for all. Personal love for God the Father is the motivating virtue which motivates impersonal love for all mankind. And a very important part of impersonal love for all is genuine compassion to help the destitute believer. That's 1 John 3:17, our verse. So personal love for God the Father will motivate impersonal love for all mankind. And a very important part of impersonal love for all is genuine compassion. Genuine compassion to help the destitute believer. 1 John 3:17, our verse. Point two. Genuine compassion has a mental attitude of deep sympathy and sorrow for another's suffering or misfortune. Genuine compassion has a mental attitude of deep sympathy and sorrow for another's suffering or misfortune. Three, this genuine compassion is accompanied by a desire to alleviate the pain and meet the needs of the destitute believer. This genuine compassion is accompanied by a desire to alleviate the pain and meet the needs of the destitute believer. Four, genuine compassion in the believer is his or her kindness, sympathy, tenderness, mercy. Mercy is grace in action. Kindness, sympathy, tenderness, mercy, which is grace in action, directed toward those in need and the destitute. So when you're thinking impersonal love for all, there are several parts of impersonal love for all. We have studied these at different points in different books in the Bible, and part of it is forgiveness. Forgiveness is in part of impersonal love for all. To forgive as Christ forgave. As Jesus Christ forgave you, so you are to forgive others. And forgiveness is a very important part and characteristic of impersonal love for all. Genuine compassion is a very important characteristic and part of impersonal love for all. Five, genuine compassion includes commiseration, long-suffering, and forbearance toward those in need and the destitute as a result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. There's only one way you can ever have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, and that is to live the unique spiritual life God's given to us in the church age. What a great dispensation to be living! We live in the greatest dispensation of the church age. We have been given, every member of the royal family of God, a unique spiritual life. But it's a supernatural way of life. It only operates by supernatural power, and that's the power of God the Holy Spirit. So, what does God give us? Something that's never been given before. Universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. Universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit, where is that? In the body. Why is the indwelling of the Spirit in the body? Because the old sin nature's in the body. Aha! Now, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to counteract the indwelling of the old sin nature. Now there's a war going on. Who is going to control your soul? Well, you have an authority. The authority of your soul is your volition. You have a free will of volition. It's right there at the gate of your soul. I'll put the gate right here. Right there at the gate. It's right there at the gate of your soul. And old sin nature is always sending up temptation to sin, and try to get you into Satan's cosmic system. You have a volition. All you have to do is say no. Really, very easy. All you have to do is say no. Temptation's not a sin. You don't rebound temptation. If you did that, that's all you'd be doing all day long. But you, when your volition then says to temptation, yes, come on through, well, now the old sin nature takes control of your life. You just put yourself back into slavery. Jesus Christ delivered you from slavery. And then you have the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, and at salvation, the filling of the Spirit. But when you say yes to temptation and sin, you put yourself back into slavery to the old sin nature. Genuine compassion is His commiseration, long-suffering, and forbearance toward those in need and the destitute as a result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Galatians 5:22 and 23, we have the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first word? Agape. When you have a list like this in Koine Greek, the first word summarizes all of them. And agape is virtue love. The fruit of the Spirit is virtue love. Love, joy, happiness. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity. Generosity. Agathosune. A-G-A-T-H, long O-S-U-N, long E. Agathosune, what does it mean? Generosity. It's a part of the fruit of the Spirit. And generosity is a part of impersonal love for all, even the obnoxious and the repugnant. You see, genuine compassion is His commiseration, long-suffering, forbearance toward those in need and destitute as a result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And what are the spiritual skills? The filling of the Spirit. Keep on being empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Walk by means of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is virtue love. Impersonal love for all. And agathosune, generosity to the destitute, to those in need. And then the second skill, metabolized doctrine. Consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God from a communicator in a sound doctrinal teaching church. And then executing God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Point six, genuine compassion is related to specific problem-solving devices. Genuine compassion is related to specific problem-solving devices. The filling of the Spirit. Again, Galatians 5:22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit, virtue, love, generosity, grace orientation. Doctrinal orientation, personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ. So genuine compassion is related to specific problem-solving devices and personal love for God the Father and impersonal love for all mankind and occupation with Christ. That's virtue love. Seven, genuine compassion emphasizes impersonal love for all mankind. Even the obnoxious, the repugnant, your enemies, and those who have no virtue. Genuine compassion emphasizes impersonal love for all mankind, even the obnoxious, the repugnant, your enemies, those who have no virtue. 8, and the Lord Jesus Christ is our role model for impersonal love for all and genuine compassion. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was, about all he dealt with were those who were obnoxious, repugnant, who hated him, who wanted to kill him, and they thought they'd won. They wanted to kill him, and they thought by having him crucified, when they were there before Pilate, should I release Barabbas or Jesus Christ? Release Barabbas. What about Christ? Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate says, I haven't found anything wrong. And it's hard to find anything wrong with somebody who's impeccable and hasn't even committed one sin. And Jesus Christ, that's the kind of people he dealt with all the time. But he willingly went to the cross for them. For them. He willingly took their sins in his body. He willingly received the judgment for their sins. And what did he say as they crucified him? Both the Romans and the Jews standing there thinking they had killed him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What is that? Impersonal love for all. Impersonal love for the scum of the world. But don't get too arrogant or on your high horse, because we were all a part of the scum of the world. We're all born spiritually dead and totally depraved. None of us were any damn good. And he took and paid the penalty for all of our sins. So the Lord Jesus Christ is our role model for impersonal love for all and genuine compassion. 9. Genuine compassion is a personal function that is illustrated in several ways. First of all, evangelism, witnessing for Christ. You have all been made a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ. You have the ministry of reconciliation to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And you demonstrate your impersonal love for all in your witnessing for Christ and fulfilling your royal ambassadorship. Your genuine compassion is illustrated by those who have the spiritual gift of helps. It also is your genuine compassion is illustrated by intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. In your intercessory prayer, you pray for people. A lot of people you don't even know. And you have prayer for those who hate you. Prayer for those who are your enemy. Prayer for those who malign you, slander you, gossip about you, judge you. You have intercessory prayer and impersonal love for all. So genuine compassion is a personal function illustrated by evangelism, witnessing for Christ, fulfilling your royal ambassadorship, the spiritual gift of helps, intercessory prayer, impersonal love for all. 10. Genuine compassion is impersonal love for all fellow believers who are in need, who are destitute of food, clothing, material needs. and manifests itself in grace-giving and generosity. 1 John 3:17, our verse. Genuine compassion is impersonal love for all fellow believers who are in need and destitute of food, clothing, material needs, and manifests itself in grace-giving and generosity. 1 John 3:17, Galatians 5:22 and 23. 11, you cannot legislate genuine compassion. You cannot legislate genuine compassion. It is developed by you living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Now that's genuine compassion. That is a part of impersonal love for all. That's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. That's why you're here in the short time while you're here. There is also pseudo-compassion. So let's take a look at pseudo-compassion. And for pseudo-compassion, let's turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 15. Pseudo-compassion. And the person who's going to illustrate pseudo-compassion is a believer in Jesus Christ. In fact, he's the son of the greatest king in Israel's history, David. Absalom, a believer in Jesus Christ. Absalom, who was living his life in Satan's cosmic system. Absalom, who was arrogant. Absalom, who became a total loser believer. Absalom, which tried to overthrow his own father, the greatest king in Israel's history. And what did he use to overthrow him? Pseudo-compassion. Pseudo-compassion. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. In the course of time, Absalom provided himself with a chariot and horses. This is a real similar to a Humvee. Back in that day, see. He got himself a Hummer, see. In the course of time, Absalom provided himself with a chariot and horses and with 50 men to run ahead of him. He would get up early and stand by the side of the road leading to the city gate. And whenever anyone came with a complaint, by the way, if you have any complaints, you can come into my office and take a number. I have sitting there a grenade. And if you take a number, it pulls the pin. It says complaint department. And I haven't had anybody come in and complain, but if you have one, come on in, take a number. You see, as a pastor, you got to think ahead of the congregation on these things. He would get up early and stand by the side of the road leading to the city gate. When anyone came with a complaint to be placed before the king, now he's not the king, he wants to be the king, but he's not the king. The king is his father, the greatest king of all time in Israel, David. With a complaint to be placed before the king for a decision, Absalom would call out to him, "What town are you from?" He would answer, "Your servant is from one of the tribes of Israel." And then Absalom would say to him, "Look, your claims are valid and proper, but there is no representative of the king to hear you." In other words, my father, the king, is doing a horrible job. Your complaints are valid. And there's nobody here to listen to your complaint. Your claims are valid and proper. But there's no representative of the king to hear you. And Absalom would add, "Now, if only I were appointed judge in the land, then everyone who has a complaint or a case could come to me, and I would see that he gets justice. In other words, David's not giving you justice, but you poor thing, I would give you justice. Pseudo-compassion. Also, whenever anyone approached him to bow down before him, Absalom would reach out his hand, take hold of him, and kiss him. Well, that would be enough for me right there. But this was the custom of the day. Take hold of him and kiss him. And Absalom behaved in this way toward all the Israelites who came to the king asking for justice. And so he stole the hearts of the men of Israel. With what? Pseudo-compassion. He doesn't give a damn about these people. This is pseudo-compassion to have them join a revolution to overthrow the greatest king in Israel's history, David. So, one, the great illustration of pseudo-compassion is Absalom. The great illustration of pseudo-compassion is Absalom. 2 Samuel 15, 1 through 6. 2. Pseudo-compassion is a system or a weapon for the manipulation of people. Pseudo-compassion is a system or a weapon for the manipulation of people. Three, Absalom used the hypocrisy of concern for others as a system of manipulation to forge the weapon of revolution out of the people. Absalom used the hypocrisy of concern for others as a system of manipulation to forge the weapon of revolution out of the people. Four, Absalom used pseudo-compassion. He used pseudo-compassion as the facade of concern for the people of Israel. So that the power of the greatest king in Jewish history, David, would be set aside for the evil of revolution. Five, to enlist support for the revolution, Absalom gives personal attention to the malcontents through the use of pseudo-compassion. He doesn't give a damn about these people. He wants to overthrow his father. Overthrow King David. He wants to become king. He is a total reversionist. He is a believer. He died the sin unto death. He is a believer. But all of this is from him living inside Satan's cosmic system. Inside Satan's cosmic system, there's pseudo-compassion, but there's no genuine compassion because there's no virtue love in Satan's cosmic system. So five, to enlist support for the revolution, Absalom gives personal attention to the malcontents through the use of pseudo-compassion. And actually, every revolution exploits the instability of malcontent people through the hypocrisy of pseudo-compassion. Six, pseudo-compassion results in the misuse of compassion. Pseudo-compassion results in the misuse of compassion. 7. Absalom used his friendly manner. And that's, you'll find this with a lot of reversionists. It doesn't mean if you're friendly, you're reversionist, but a lot of reversionists, this is their M.O. Absalom used his friendly manner. Oh, he was very friendly. His pseudo-compassion and his scintillating personality to undermine his father's authority as king and to manipulate the people. Absalom used his friendly manner, his pseudo-compassion, his scintillating personality to undermine his father's authority as king and to manipulate the people. 8. To enlist support for the revolution, Absalom must give personal attention to malcontented people and set the facade of pseudo-compassion. To enlist support for the revolution, Absalom must give personal attention to malcontented people and set the facade of pseudo-compassion. You see, the malcontented person is really nothing more than someone who is preoccupied with his own grievances, and therefore he really is preoccupied with himself. And Absalom used pseudo-compassion to exploit this. 9. Absalom undermined the authority of the law by maligning the judicial system of Israel. Now, who set up the judicial system? Well, David did. What was his basis for setting it up? The Mosaic Law. And Codex number 3 of the Mosaic Law, what is that? Laws of divine establishment. It was the best judicial system ever in the history of the world, established by King David. Codex number 3 of the Mosaic Law. They had the best judicial system ever. And it was based on truth, laws of divine establishment, which protected human freedom. But Absalom undermined the authority of the law by maligning the judicial system of Israel. In process, what he's really doing is undermining the authority of the king. 10. The judicial system of Israel at the time of David was the best in the entire world. The judicial system of Israel at the time of David was the best in the entire world. It did not operate on emotion. It did not operate on pseudo-compassion. But it operated on Bible doctrine, the laws of divine establishment, Codex number 3 of the Mosaic Law. That was what David 100% believed and operated by the laws of divine establishment, Codex number 3 of the Mosaic Law. It was the best judicial system in the entire world. 11. It is the laws of divine establishment that protects human freedom. Not emotion, not pseudo-compassion, not violence. It is the laws of divine establishment that protects human freedom. Power lust made Absalom a lawless person. He's a reversionist. He's operating by the lust patterns of his sin nature. Power lust made Absalom a lawless person, and he sympathized with lawless people. Through the manipulative power of pseudo-compassion, Absalom undermined the system of law and order, the laws of divine establishment, Codex number 3 of the Mosaic Law, through which King David, the greatest king in Israel's history, ruled the nation Israel with the best judicial system in the entire world. That's pseudo-compassion. So we have genuine compassion in 1 John 3:17 and in Samuel, 2 Samuel 15, we have pseudo-compassion. So again, verse 17 says, but if anyone has the world's material possessions, food, clothing, wealth, prosperity, and he sees that his fellow believer is in need, he is in need of something or destitute, and he has shut up and locked up his heart against him. That is, he has no compassion for him. Then it is impossible that this virtue love from God abides in him. One, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. 1 John 2, verse 5. Personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all, and genuine compassion for the destitute and occupation with Jesus Christ. Two, it is impossible for you to have impersonal love for all if you hate your fellow believer. It is impossible for you to have impersonal love for all if you hate your fellow believer. Three, it is impossible for you to have genuine compassion for your fellow believer who is in need or destitute when you have mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue toward him. It is impossible for you to have genuine compassion for your fellow believer who is in need and destitute when you have mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue toward him. Four. Satan loves to promote believers living in his cosmic system. How do you get there? Well, when the temptation from the old sin nature comes up to the gate of your soul, your volition says, yes, come on through. And you commit the sin, the old sin nature takes control of your soul, and you are now, you see, the old sin nature is Satan's inside agent. And now you are in Satan's cosmic system. And Satan loves to promote believers living in his cosmic system. There are a lot of very wealthy believers that are total reversionists living in Satan's cosmic system, and their prosperity and wealth is from Satan himself. Not from God at all, but totally from Satan itself. Himself. Satan loves to promote believers living in his cosmic system. Five, the believer living in the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, will be promoted and blessed by Satan. Not by God. He will be promoted and blessed by Satan. Without virtue, without honor, without integrity. Six, such promotion is a trap. Such promotion is a trap. The cosmic system is a trap. You've been entrapped. It brings wealth without virtue love. It brings success without impersonal love for all. It brings prosperity without compassion. Such promotion is a trap. It brings wealth without virtue love. It brings success without impersonal love for all. It brings prosperity without compassion. 7. When the believer lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, he develops virtue love. Impersonal love for all, characterized by true sensitivity, thoughtfulness of others, compassion. Compassion for those in need, destitute. When the believer lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, he develops virtue love. Impersonal love for all, characterized by true sensitivity, thoughtfulness of others, compassion for those in need, the destitute. Eight, however, the believer living in Satan's cosmic system is characterized by hypersensitivity, arrogance, preoccupation with self. However, the believer living in Satan's cosmic system is characterized by hypersensitivity, arrogance, preoccupation with self. Seven, impersonal love for all. A very important part of impersonal love for all is the Royal Family Honor Code. The Royal Family Honor Code. Impersonal love for all is a very important part of that is the Royal Family Honor Code. Eight. Genuine compassion as a part of impersonal love for all fellow believers, for the needy and the destitute, is the grace righteous production of the winner believer. Genuine compassion as a part of impersonal love for all fellow believers, for the needy, the destitute, is the grace righteous production of the winner believer. Nine, impersonal love for all, genuine compassion for those in need and destitute, including the repugnant and obnoxious fellow believers, is the MO, the modus operandi, the MO of the believer living the spiritual life. Impersonal love for all, genuine compassion for those in need and destitute, including the repugnant and obnoxious fellow believers, is the MO of the believer living the spiritual life. Ten. The wealthy believer is not truly wealthy unless he has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. The wealthy believer is not truly wealthy unless he has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Eleven. Our verse, 1 John 3:17, teaches that there are many believers who attain wealth and prosperity, but they have no virtue because their promotion comes from Satan's cosmic system. 1 John 3:17, our verse teaches that there are many believers who attain wealth and prosperity without virtue because their promotion comes from Satan's cosmic system. 12. These things that believers associate with happiness in life will never make them happy living in Satan's cosmic system. These things that believers associate with happiness in life will never, ever make them happy living in Satan's cosmic system. When you are living your life in Satan's cosmic system and Satan promotes you and gives you wealth, your wealth will not make you happy. You're living in Satan's cosmic system and he promotes you, your promotion will not make you happy. You're a believer living in Satan's cosmic system and you even find your right woman or right man. That will not make you happy. You will be in great misery for your living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. 13. This will result in divine discipline. Not God's blessings, but God's discipline. This will result in divine discipline, warning discipline. Hopefully you wake up at that point. If not, intensive discipline. You better wake up then, because next is dying discipline. 14. However, for the believer living the spiritual life with virtue, love brought to completion in his heart, he will, one, have wealth with great happiness. He will have promotion and success with great blessing. And he will have romance and marriage with great happiness and blessing. However, for the believer living the spiritual life with virtue, love brought to completion in his heart, he will have wealth with great happiness, promotion and success with great blessing, romance and marriage with great happiness and blessing. So verse 17, but if anyone has the world's material possessions, food, clothing, wealth, prosperity, and he sees his fellow believer is in need, destitute, and he has shut up, locked up his heart against him. That is, he has no compassion, no genuine compassion on him. Then it is impossible that this virtue love from God abides in him. Now that brings us to verse 18. We don't have time to get into it, but I'm going to tell you what we have. We have two parts. The first half, we have what genuine compassion and impersonal love for the destitute is not. That's the first half, what it is not. And then the second half of verse 18 is what genuine compassion and impersonal love for the destitute is. That's the second half of the verse. So we start out with the first half, what genuine compassion and impersonal love for the destitute is not. That's the first half. And the second half, what genuine compassion and impersonal love for the destitute is. And that's where we'll be next week. 1 John 3:18. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.